Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring Discover how kids can become entrepreneurs. Learn about profit, competition, and creating value for customers in this fun educational podcast for kids. Perfect for homeschool STEM.
Imagine taking like $5 worth of simple fabric scraps and turning them into a massive community funding empire.
It's wild.
Right. It sounds like the plot of some high-stakes Silicon Valley startup movie. But the CEO making all the executive decisions in this specific case was only 9 years old.
Nine.
Yeah.
I mean, that really puts things in perspective.
It really does. And today we're exploring a world that completely shatters that big myth. You know, the one that says you need a SIF suit, a heavy leather briefcase, or like a fancy college degree to start a business.
Yeah, definitely not true anymore.
So to all the young learners out there listening right now, and of course to the curious adults who are tuning in alongside you, welcome to a very special deep dive into the sometimes messy but incredibly creative world of kid entrepreneurship.
We have a super fascinating stack of resources to pull from today. We're looking at materials from the Bank of Canada Museum and kidpreneurs.org.
Awesome sources.
Yeah, and the tone across all of these is just incredibly empowering. Like, they treat young people not just as future workers who will eventually do something, but as current innovators right now.
I love that.
The core message is really that entrepreneurship isn't this genetic trait you're just born with. It's a way of thinking, and you can learn it.
Yeah, let's actually start right there. I want to throw out the dictionary definition of an entrepreneur because it usually involves a lot of boring jargon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Organizing and operating a business with financial risk, all that stuff.
Exactly. Let's look at the actual mechanism of what these kids are doing instead. If you boil down all our sources, how would you define an entrepreneur simply?
Well, at its heart, an entrepreneur is essentially just a detective.
A detective, yeah.
Someone who spots a problem in the world, uses their creativity to invent a solution, and helps people by making something new or better.
That is such a crucial reframing. It moves the whole focus away from just, you know, making money.
Exactly. It puts the focus squarely on solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
You look at your neighborhood or your school or even your own house, and you notice something that frustrates people.
Like a completely disorganized school locker.
Right. Or a dog leash that always, always tangles when you walk your dog. An entrepreneur is just the person who says, you know what, I'm going to figure out how to fix that.
But, and here's the transition: solving problems takes energy, right?
No.
If you invent a better dog leash, you still need materials to build the thing.
You do. You need a way to sustain the project so you can actually keep helping people.
And in the business world, the energy that keeps the machine running is called profit. Okay, let's unpack this. Because profit isn't just whatever money happens to be sitting in your little cash box at the end of the day.
It absolutely is not. The money in the cash box, that's just your revenue.
Right.
It's just the total amount of money customers handed to you. But to find your actual profit, you have to look at your expenses.
Which is the money you spent to make the product exist in the first place? Let's use the classic childhood business example from the sources, the kitchen bakery.
Oh, perfect.
So you decide to sell homemade chocolate chip cookies. You go to the grocery store and spend $5 on flour, sugar, butter, and chocolate chips.
So those are your expenses.
Exactly. You bake the cookies, you set up a little table outside, and you sell all of them to your neighbors for a total of $10.
Nice day's work.
Yeah. That $10 is your revenue. The mechanism of profit is the margin between those two numbers. $10 in revenue minus $5 in expenses leaves you with $5 of profit.
And that $5, that's your margin of survival.
What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. If you sell $10 of cookies, but you decided to use like ultra expensive imported organic chocolate chips.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they cost you $9 to buy. Now your profit is only $1. Your business is basically starving, even if your cash box feels heavy with $10.
Wow. Yeah.
One dropped cookie or one neighbor who asks for a refund and your entire operation goes under.
But wait, let me push back on this scenario for a second.
Okay, go for it.
Because if I'm 10 years old, I'm probably not the one actually buying the flour and the chocolate chips. My mom or dad is swiping their credit card at the grocery store.
Right. Right.
So isn't my profit kind of just an illusion? Like, I'm not really running a business. I'm just playing store while my parents quietly subsidize the costs.
That is a brilliant point.
Yeah.
And the resources from the Bank of Canada Museum actually address this head on.
Oh, really? What do they say?
They emphasize that if adults just silently cover the costs, they are robbing the young entrepreneur of the most important lesson.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, a kid needs to calculate the true costs to understand reality. Even if a parent fronts the $5 for the ingredients as a loan, the child needs to actually pay that $5 back from their $10 revenue.
Because physically handing over that $5 bill teaches them that profit is hard won. But that brings up another question. Once you have that hard-won profit, what do you even do with it? Because a common misconception is that the whole point of business is just, you know, piling up money in a piggy bank until you're rich. Is that the only point?
What's fascinating here is that profit isn't just about getting rich. It's a tool. It is pure leverage.
Okay, leverage how?
Yes, you can save some of it.
Yeah.
But profit is what allows you to buy more supplies so you can bake two batches next time instead of one.
Yeah.
It lets you upgrade from a hand whisk to an electric mixer.
Right.
And, crucially, it gives you the power to help others and impact your community.
Which perfectly brings us back to the 9-year-old CEO I mentioned at the very start of the deep dive. The sources highlight the story of Maya Beaudry.
Yes, the founder of Cocom Scrunchies.
Right. She was making and selling these beautiful handmade hair accessories.
And Maya's story is the perfect illustration of profit as a tool. She didn't just use her earnings to go buy video games or candy.
Mm-hmm.
She used her business to raise money for community causes she cared about. She reinvested some of her profit back into her business to buy better materials and expand, and she funneled the rest into social good.
Proving that a business can absolutely do good while making money.
Exactly. But that engine only runs if the math actually works.
Right. But here is the brutal reality of the market. Maya could have had the best profit margins in the world. She could have perfectly calculated her expenses. But if nobody actually wanted a scrunchie,
she would have made $0.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how efficient your cookie bakery is if you are baking like anchovy flavored cookies.
Gross.
Right. You cannot make a profit unless you are creating value.
And value is highly subjective. Understanding that is probably one of the hardest lessons for any entrepreneur, kid, or adult.
Yeah.
Creating value means giving customers a specific benefit. You are improving their life in a specific moment.
I love thinking about situational value here. Let's do a relatable analogy. Imagine a simple paper cup filled with ice-cold lemonade priced at $1. If you are standing outside in a freezing snowy day, wrapped in a winter coat, shivering, and someone offers you that lemonade, it has absolutely zero value to you. You wouldn't take it for free.
Definitely not.
But take that exact same cup with the exact same ingredients and offer it to someone who just finished a 5-mile run on a 100-degree summer day. Suddenly, that $1 cup has massive value because it cools you down.
The product didn't change at all. The benefit to the customer changed.
Exactly. It's about the benefit, not just the price tag.
The benefit is everything. But young entrepreneurs often fall into this trap of just guessing what that benefit should be.
Oh, like locking themselves in their room and spending hours making 50 green friendship bracelets?
Yeah, and then they go to school and find out everyone only wears blue.
Total disaster. So how do you avoid that trap? How do you guarantee people actually want what you're making before you spend all your allowance on green string?
Well, the experts call the solution co-creation.
Co-creation.
Yeah, it simply means instead of guessing what people want, you just ask them. Let your customers help you design the product.
Okay, how does a kid do that?
You make one green bracelet, one blue, and one red. You take them to the playground, and you ask your friends, which one of these do you like best? Which one would you actually trade your snack for?
Oh, you are testing the market. If they all point to the blue one, you only manufacture blue bracelets.
Exactly. You let the customer tell you what they value.
But once you know what they value, how does a business actually stand out? Because if you are making blue bracelets and three other kids in your class are also making blue bracelets, why should anyone buy yours?
This is where our sources introduce the three value disciplines. And this is how expert companies create value.
Okay, let's break these down because I feel like this is where a lot of businesses totally derail.
Yeah, so the three disciplines are operational excellence, product leadership, and customer intimacy.
Let's start with the first one, operational excellence.
That basically means you make things fast and cheap. Think of a super efficient, fair-priced lemonade stand. No lines, perfect mix every time.
Got it. And the second one, product leadership.
That's making the most innovative product. You aren't just selling a basic bracelet. you've invented a bracelet with a completely unique magnetic clasp that glows in the dark.
Oh, cool. And the third is customer intimacy. So that's solving specific problems, right?
Yes. Deep customization. It's the bakery that doesn't just sell a generic chocolate cake, but they bake a birthday cake customized exactly to someone's wildest description, like a personalized T-Rex cake.
Okay, so here's the trap, though. Should a kid try to be the absolute best at all three of those?
That is the counterintuitive trap that destroys a lot of new businesses. You cannot be the best at all three.
It's mathematically impossible.
Right.
Because if I'm spending 5 hours sculpting a highly customized T-Rex cake, which is customer intimacy, I inherently cannot be the fastest, cheapest bakery on the block, which is operational excellence.
Exactly. The deep customization ruins the speed.
Yeah.
You have to choose. The actionable advice for a young entrepreneur is, you don't have to be perfect at all three. Just pick one to be really great at.
Pick your superpower.
Yes.
But here's where it gets really interesting. If you're listening to this and thinking, I have no idea which superpower to pick, and the thought of selling something to strangers sounds terrifying, how does a kid actually practice these skills before launching a massive company?
The experts say you enter the arena of competition. Entrepreneurship competitions are incredible safe testing grounds.
What kind of competitions are we talking about?
Our sources highlight a few specific ones. There is the Kids Idea Tank for ages 8 to 13, where you submit ideas, and there's actually over $1,000 in prizes.
Whoa.
Yeah. Then there's the Diamond Challenge for teens and DECA for high schoolers.
And a lot of these revolve around the concept of the elevator pitch, right? I love the elevator pitch.
It's a foundational concept.
For those who don't know, an elevator pitch is just a short, exciting speech to convince judges or investors to support your idea. The premise is, if you stepped into an elevator with an investor, could you explain your business before the doors open on the top floor?
Yes, you have maybe 30 seconds to distill all your chaotic thoughts.
And do it while adults are staring at you.
Right. And there's a great quote from Lumiere Education in our sources that synthesizes the real point of all this. They say, these competitions are not just about winning. They're real-world challenges that push you to think on your feet.
It builds bravery. It connects you with other creative kids. It's almost like exposure therapy for public speaking.
100%. But hey, even if you don't have access to a formal competition, you don't even need a business to start practicing right now.
Yes. The sources outline some awesome screen-free activities you can do at your kitchen table. Let's highlight a couple.
My favorite is the envelope exercise.
Oh, this one is brilliant. Explain how it works.
Basically, a parent or teacher hands you a sealed envelope containing a tiny amount of seed money, maybe just $2 in real coins. And the challenge is to brainstorm ways to multiply that small amount of money by the end of the week.
It forces you to look at resources differently. You can't buy expensive supplies with $2, so you have to be creative.
Exactly. And if you don't want to involve real money at all, there's the Marshmallow Tower Challenge.
Oh, I've seen this one. You get some dry spaghetti noodles, some tape, some string, and one regular-sized marshmallow.
Yeah, and you have to work with a team to build the tallest tower that can hold the marshmallow at the very top.
Which teaches prototyping and teamwork. Because the first time you try to balance a heavy marshmallow on fragile spaghetti, the entire thing is going to snap and collapse.
And that collapses the whole lesson. In business, your first idea is almost always flawed. You build a tower, it falls over.
And you don't cry about it. You look at where the spaghetti broke, you tape it up, and you try again.
Because failure is just data.
Failure is just data. Wow. I want to linger on that because it transitions perfectly into the final question looming over this deep dive.
Yeah.
Not every kid listening to this wants to run a company when they grow up. Some want to be marine biologists or painters or nurses. So what does this all mean? Why should every kid learn this stuff?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, entrepreneurship is secretly a giant training program for life.
It really is.
It teaches creativity, communication, money management, and most importantly, resilience. Like trying again when absolutely no one buys your cookies. Those skills apply to every single profession on earth.
And we see this clearly in the childhood story of Cameron Harold, which is detailed in the sources.
Yes, his story is amazing.
As a kid, instead of just doing one-off lawn mowing jobs for the neighbors, he observed that the problem grass keeps growing back. So he figured out how to mow lawns weekly for recurring revenue.
He turned a chore into a subscription business.
Exactly. And he learned marketing by selling wineskins to captive audiences at local sports games. He was constantly analyzing his environment, and today he actually teaches other kids how to do this.
He understood how to look at the world as a landscape of opportunities.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important to note that kids rarely develop this mindset totally on their own.
True. Adult support is critical. And this is a direct message to the parents and teachers listening right now. Your job is to provide resources and to celebrate effort.
Even the failures.
Especially the failures. Let kids explore without taking over.
Mm.
You are the bank and the cheerleader, but you must not be the manager. If their lemonade stand fails to make a single dollar, that is a spectacular educational moment.
If you bake the cookies and calculate the math for them, you are robbing them of the friction that causes learning. Let them arrive at the conclusions themselves.
Wow. Okay, let's wrap this up. We've covered so much today.
Really have.
Whether it's a craft business, walking dogs, or a lemonade stand, the goal is solving problems, understanding profit, and creating value. And I want to share a powerful quote from the sources to sum it all up. Entrepreneurs are made, not just born.
It's a muscle. The earlier you start flexing it, the stronger it gets. And I want to leave our young listeners with a final provocative challenge for today.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Look around your house, your classroom, or your neighborhood today. What is one tiny thing that annoys people or slows them down?
Find the friction.
Exactly. Find that annoyance and ask yourself, how could you be the one to fix it?
I love that. Keep questioning, keep creating, and remember that every giant company in the world started out as just a small idea. Thanks for exploring the sources with us today. Keep building.
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.